Can you tell me if it's good or bad for real?
Yeah.
That sounded
pretty good.
Okay.
All right. I like when you say all right. It's just like an accent word, you know.
Where all right. Like, welcome.
All right. No, don't. All right. You're not doing
welcome
a podcast.
Welcome to the Stay at Home Actor Podcast.
This is just a conversation.
Okay,
baby.
Ready?
Yeah. Let's go.
All right, welcome to the Stay at Home Actor Podcast, a podcast documenting my journey balancing life as a new mom and an actor in the film and television industry. I'm your host, Sarah, and I am joined today by a very special guest, my husband, Alex Samuel Hirsch III.
All right, episode one, let's go.
Alec, how are you?
Doing well, how are you?
Just Jay chilling, living life.
How was your day?
It wasn't bad.
We haven't seen each other all day.
We got coffee this morning with Rory, our baby.
We live in separate rooms at the house.
Yeah.
We don't see each other unless we do it on a podcast.
Let's clarify. That's a joke because some people do sleep in separate. It's like a whole thing now, like not sleeping together, which listen. Do what you want. I don't want to. Let's just
have
move on from that.
Right now.
No, I don't need to have an opinion on my first episode.
30 seconds into your first episode.
We like to snuggle.
Please.
Snuggle wuggle. Okay. This is like the fifth time it's taken us to record because life has been quite busy. But first, before we get to that, I guess, paint a picture of what we're doing right now.
Right now. So we just finished dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I just went through puberty and my voice cracked.
We had some Zaw. We watched the pizza. Dana Carvey movie.
Too Funny to Fail, a documentary about the Dana Carvey show.
Amazing.
He left SNL back in the day in like the 90s, went and did a sketch comedy show, like a variety show. I think I'm going to get torn apart by people who actually know what they're talking about. It was a sketch. It was a sketch comedy show.
Oh, well.
Show.
People don't need to be pretentious.
Yeah, pretentious people are going to hate that. Anyways, it was a great show. He left SNL on top, started a show. Instead of late night, it was prime time on ABC. And it completely crashed and burned after 8 episodes.
Steve Carell was
fascinating.
In the documentary a lot. We love Steve.
It was his first job out of Second City. Same with Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
Robert Smigel was like the head writer or showrunner, something like that. Anyways, it was fascinating. So we did that. Fed Rory a while ago. We got probably T minus 45 minutes till we feed Rory again.
Right.
And
this is the fifth time it's taken us to record. Oh, and we're drinking.
And we're drinking a nice bottle of red. That's it.
Yeah.
Aldi's finest. A red wine from Aldi. And that is a picture. Rucker's at our feet. We're at our kitchen table. We're about to get up in this.
So yeah, I gave birth around 5 weeks ago. I started this podcast because I don't know a lot of working actors who are also moms because we are sadly afraid to have children. Pregnancy does sometimes limit auditions. That is a thing. Postpartum, I'm still freshly postpartum, but I'm just now auditioning again. But I'm repped by an agency in Atlanta for film, television, and commercials.
Repped for people outside the business is represented.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you, my love.
I got you. I speak for the common people.
Oh, right. So they, understandably so, wanted me to take care of my body, my baby, my mental health. So they were like, we're not even going to submit you for things for a month when you give birth, which is, you know, great, totally understand. But things like that is what makes people hesitate and afraid because it's already hard enough to book. You audition a lot, get a lot of rejection, as everybody knows. So like you want as many auditions as you can get because it is a little bit of a numbers game in that regard. Anywho, I've just started auditioning again. This brings us to the reason why it's taken us 5 times to record this, because now that I'm auditioning again, most of my auditions have been for commercial work. Those of you who saw the Deadline article, and for those of you who didn't.
No, this is fascinating. This is fascinating for everyone, honestly.
So Deadline just released an article not too long ago that right now we're in a post-strike era, but we're still, a lot of productions are still being moved to 2025. So basically this time of year right now, there would normally be around 100 pilots filming. Right now there's a total of like 3, which is wild.
Yeah.
So the fact that even when there's normally 100 pilots filming, it's really difficult to book jobs because there's so many actors, especially now due to the nature of self-taping, there's more actors than there were before auditioning, and now there's less jobs. It's a very slow time for auditioning, especially for TV. But this week I did have 3 auditions for a TV show shooting in Atlanta. So I've been working on that, which is part of why we've not been able to sit down and record this. But that was interesting. It was interesting being pregnant during a strike.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, the best time to be, I don't think next time you're pregnant, God willing,
yeah,
knock on wood, if Rory doesn't wear us out, I don't think it's going to be that lucky. Because it was like plus or minus 3 months. Like, it was probably the best time possible to be pregnant.
Yeah, like, didn't love a strike happening, understood why it had to happen, don't come for my throat, but people are, like, triggered.
Go.
No, like, I totally think...
Who won, who lost? Go.
No, I think it was valid that there was a strike, 100%, a historic double strike.
Wow.
But it's just, you know, that means that there weren't a lot of auditions happening. Alec just banged his headphones into the mic.
I'm an idiot. Go ahead.
Anywho... With that being said, I'm like, well, what good timing. Like, if there's going to be a strike and I'm not going to be auditioning anyways, nice that that's the time I'm pregnant, you know?
100%.
But the strike did end when I was third trimester pregnant. So there were some months where I could have started auditioning, but then I really couldn't because that was like the biggest my belly got.
Obviously pregnant.
Yeah.
Higher liability on... A set,
yeah,
all that.
I don't know. I think that that's another reason people are afraid to get pregnant. But I'm here to say, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, it sucks in the moment. Don't get me wrong, not getting to audition. But now I'm on the other end of it, and I'm like, I don't know. Like,
and this week's been good, honestly. So yeah. This is probably your first true experience. Like, all right, how am I going to manage it? You talk about this all the time, like. How do I time self-tape for, like, when baby's napping? Like, do I have time for that? Am I going to be motivated? Like, all that. But honestly, yeah. These 2 weeks and, like, just you got to celebrate the wins when they come. Like, yeah. 3 auditions in a matter of a week is incredible for, like, a legitimate role.
Thanks,
you know what
love.
I mean? For real. Got to celebrate those wins
no,
when
that,
they come.
That is true because I was always so anxious about, oh my gosh, when an important audition rolls in. Because I'm a stay-at-home mom with Rory.
Yeah.
And normally when I would get auditions, like last year, I would be able to go and tape with my reader and drive midday with any of my other friends who are actors and we'll read with each other midday. With a baby, it's harder for me to go to someone's house because I'm like, what if she starts screaming and crying? And I'm wasting this person's time. The past couple weeks has been like proof that I am able to do both. I either work on my script analysis, memorizing lines, all that jazz during the day. So pretentious. I know, but.
Wow. Tell me more. Tell me more about your process.
Listen.
Just kidding.
Please. Okay. Gag me with a spoon. Anyways. No, but it's like, it hasn't been that bad, honestly. Like when Rory's been awake, I will bounce her on my knee and we'll literally work through the script. I was doing tummy time with her and I had recorded the other person's lines on my phone and I would just like keep running a scene while I did tummy time with her while I was feeding her in the nursery. Rucker, our dog, was hanging out with us. It was really sweet.
Yeah.
And then at night, like some of the stuff I would just read with you at night when we put Rory down and we had the baby monitor, brought it in the room that I tape in. And then another day, my friend came over and we taped during the day when Rory was napping. And she read for an audition I had. I read for an audition she had. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, I am able to do both. And it's cool because I've always wanted to do both things. Obviously, I know it's not everyone's desire to be a mom.
Sure.
You know, and I totally respect that. I think.
And it'll change. Like, yeah. Like right now, Rory
sleeps a lot.
Is in her, I heard two people describe it as like the pet rock phase and like the potato phase, like where she's just like, mm-hmm. she literally eats, taking care of baby schedule. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
God bless Kara. But she eats,
God bless
stays
her.
Awake for, you know, 60 to 90 minutes total and then naps for hour and a half, 2 hours, and then eats 3 hours later. So it's pretty predictable and like,
yeah.
that will change. But again, like celebrate the wins while you can. Like it is manageable and like you just got to prioritize it, you know?
Yeah, like I have no idea what it'll look like when she's 6 months, hence this podcast. I'm here to show you guys yeah, what my experience literally. Will be. Right now, it's been honestly so much better than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I also had this fear. People kept scaring me because they were like, you're not going to want to audition for 6 months, girl. Get ready. And then that scared me because I am pretty ambitious, I like to think. I don't know. Like I do have that desire in me to work and do all those things. And I don't think that makes you any less of a mom because you have that passion, right?
Right. I was going to make a terrible joke. I was going to say, I beg to differ.
Oh my God.
But
okay.
That's my brand of comedy, by the way. It's not comedy at
all.
Alec
is working on his comedy. He's really gotten into it.
It's so bad though, where I literally say, I was going to say, and then insert joke. And it's like, that's not funny.
You got to go for
it.
You
got to
believe in yourself.
Yeah.
We kind of hope Rory's going to get into comedy.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We're like,
it'd be incredible.
Second City.
But we're high off of that Dana Carvey documentary. So
super
anyways,
high.
All right, go ahead. Doesn't make you any less of a mom.
I was like, I mean, I'm still dealing with some postpartum mental health stuff. For a lot of people, they have baby blues the first 2 weeks. I'm like 5 weeks out. So it's still dealing with some of that. So I think it's different for everyone. It's totally fine if you are a person who's like, you're really overwhelmed with being a new mom. And you, even if you do take 6 months to want to audition again, 6 months in the grand scheme of your life is not a big deal. But I'm just saying for me, I swear it was like day five. I was like, I would love to audition right now for my mental health. That's like, acting is very therapeutic for me. It's always been therapeutic for me. So it's been the best thing for me to get back into auditioning, you know?
Yeah.
People will say things. People are kind of funny. Or they'll be like I had not the hardest pregnancy in the world, but I was nauseous for a long time. I had a lot of back pain. I got anemic. I would faint. I faint, you know, people would be like, oh, you just wait till the baby comes. And I'm like, that is not very helpful to say, honestly. Let's not be so negative Nancy's. It's been better since the baby's come.
Yeah.
But, you know?
No, you're looking at me like I got something to say. I have like three things to say and I forgot them all. But okay. That is a pet peeve.
Well, wah. What a great co-host.
Oh, my gosh. No, but like, I think that's one thing like you do hear a lot like, oh my gosh, like it's great now, like, but just wait. And it's like, I like push back on that where it's like, this is incredible. And like certain things like, so living the life you lived before, that was a big thing we talked about during pregnancy is like, uh-huh. we wanted to live the life that we were living before and like, make Rory a part of that life.
A beautiful addition to it.
Yeah, an addition to it and not like completely fundamentally change things. And I think things have changed like in a fundamental way, but like it's not like, I don't know.
You can still have your priorities and just include her in those priorities.
Yeah, I think
like,
certain things.
Travel is one of our priorities. We're like wanting to do that still and just bring her into it, you know?
But I think it's like a beautiful like simplification. It's like everything streamlined where
yeah
like okay I literally don't have time to screw around with this, so it's just like the clearest, the most black and white life has ever been, where it's like yeah, this is something that like we want to do, we want to prioritize, we're going to do it, versus something that's like, this is like, I really don't have time for this anymore. Like, I got a kid. P. I got a kid to get home to. Like, come on.
100 P, as Emily Wolnski would say. Emily, I know you're listening. Shout out, girl. One thing people ask me about is like when I told my reps with pregnancy. And I mean, especially for your first pregnancy, and I'm short, you guys. Okay, I'm a little shorty McGee. I'm 5'1". And I didn't show for like a hot second. So on your first, you're not going to show very soon. So especially if you're taller, which you likely are taller than 5'1". Really, you don't have to tell people until you're showing. I told I was so excited about being pregnant. And I was excited to post it online. And obviously, I wanted to tell my reps before I just posted it online and have them see it. So, but it didn't really matter in my case because of the strike. So again, good timing. Lord willing, we have another one day. If, you know, likely won't be on strike, I will probably show a little sooner because the second you show sooner. But I'll maybe wait a little longer for that if I'm, you know.
Sure.
Not that the reps are going to be like, never submit you once they know you're pregnant. But, you know.
Yeah.
I'll just keep it a little bit to myself as long as I can until I'm really showing. So even that, like, you do the math. This is to ease any of your fears for those of you who do want babies one day. If you do want that and you want to act, it's like, think about it. A pregnancy is 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, I don't know. I don't know what month I started showing. But even when you start showing a little bit, you can still hide it with certain clothes.
Yeah.
You know?
You had a big dinner. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't have, it's not 9 whole months that you're showing. So you don't have to tell people until you're showing. You don't have to tell your reps and
right.
You don't have to tell the world of social media that you're having a baby until you're showing.
Yeah.
So shave some of those months off. That's what I was telling myself.
And like in a big way, like acting more so than a lot of other careers has like a long-term perspective. Like I think the only way I see you like mentally persevering and like making it through is to have that long-term perspective. Like this might take me 5 years.
100 P.
This might take me 10 years. Like this might make me 20 years. And so, but like, if you have that perspective, like one, you're healthier as an actor, and two, that 5 months of pregnancy is like super small. And especially like in light of what you get on the other side.
Yeah.
Or what like comes from the other side, which is
totally
joy and happiness and fulfillment and love, you know?
I think it's healthy if a parent has something outside of just parenthood that brings them some sense of fulfillment.
100%.
Because then when Rory's 18, I cry all the time thinking about it. It makes me very sad. I do cry when I listen to Noah Kahan's, oh my gosh, now.
Great artist.
I know, what now I'm forgetting the song. Of course. There's a song he has that makes me cry because it makes me think about Rory going off to college. All that being said, it's like, I have those feelings, but I have something, you know, also outside of Rory that I'm pursuing that brings me fulfillment, joy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's good for her too, so that she doesn't have this weight or pressure of her being my only thing in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, the song, You're Gonna Go Far by Noah Kahan. If you have a baby,
look it up.
Ooh, those lyrics get me. Oh, I wanted you actually to talk about, you just read the book.
Rejection.
No.
Alec, it's rejection.
No, okay, this is interesting. That's so Alec and I are both, yes, his career path is far more conventional than, yes, acting, but it's still not like the most conventional career path. We both have like, okay, mine's not commission-based, but mine is freelance-based. That was our dog in the background. You probably can't hear him, but if you could, that was our dog. He's a good watchdog. His name is Rucker. He's an icon.
He's just guarding the house. Rucker Danger Hirsch.
Rucker D. Hirsch. Rucker Danger Hirsch. He is a living legend and a true icon.
Proceed. You were talking about me. Go ahead.
Okay. So like with acting, you know, it's like freelance. It's like when you book a job, you make money and then you might go months without whatever. For you, you do commercial real estate, which is commission-based. And so you have your fair share of rejection too, and you just read the book Rejection
Commercial
Proof.
So commercial real estate agent, there's a bunch of different roles. This is something I would like, if you're scrounging, if you're scraping the bottom of the barrel for guests, it would be a fun episode to talk about how similar, honestly, how similar our jobs are.
That would be fun.
In like, from a 30,000 foot view, like it's a numbers game. Yeah. So I'm a commercial real estate agent. So
broker or agent? What's the difference?
I don't know. Don't ask me that.
It's like film and movie.
Yeah.
It's film, cinema, movie.
Like commercial real estate. I'm convinced people in commercial real estate just like to say they're a broker
because it sounds fancy.
Yeah. It sounds like you're more important. I don't know. But essentially just help
the
people.
Fact that I just said, that was the wine.
Yeah. How is it, by the way?
It's amazing.
It's a good red.
A great red. Smells like a red.
Anyways, no.
Rejection proof the book.
Commercial
Sorry.
Real estate agent. Help people buy and sell buildings. Just like a residential agent helps people buy and sell homes. But yeah, it's literally a numbers game. It's calling on people, having awkward conversations. 1099. So tomorrow, like if they made my job illegal, like I wouldn't have a paycheck. Like it would just end. So it is unconventional, and like you do have to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Right.
Rejection Proof is a fantastic book for anyone listening, even if you're not in a conventional career or unconventional career like that.
Yeah.
It's just really good. It's about a guy who had a startup. He was like working up the corporate ladder, had a startup because he always wanted to be like an entrepreneur, got rejected from an investor that was going to be like huge for moving this thing forward. And then he like challenged himself to get rejected for 100 days straight. And so he would do crazy stuff like ask a stranger to play soccer in their backyard or like a special order at Krispy Kreme or ask people for money on the streets, ask people for $100. Like he just did a bunch of this stuff and learned a bunch of lessons along the way. But at the root of it all, it's like a thesis on rejection. It's really fascinating.
I just added it to my Libby today. I'm second
awesome.
In line. I'm really excited about that book because Alex has been talking about it. I suggested the book Late Bloomers to Alec last year. I don't remember how I came across that book because I was the one and I don't know how I found it.
I don't know. 10 out of 10 recommend.
Amazing
Go
book.
Ahead. Give the rundown. I just spent
I want to read it again.
Talking about Rejection Proof, but
no, like I'm excited for Rejection Proof, partially because I think Late Bloomers, like it didn't change my life. That's dramatic.
No, it.
It was a
but
big
it was
thing.
Really again. It's
it made
just
me
a
emotional.
Great perspective. Yeah,
it was emotional. I mean, I'm gonna do a bad job of, I feel like, explaining it, other than the fact that it's very encouraging because I think, especially in America, we're like led to believe that if you, I was a fine student in high school, but I wasn't valedictorian.
Marietta,
I
where's
mean,
better?
You were a great student, but that's another, anyways. I was so into acting and stuff. Like that's where I really cared. I was a rising star. No, I didn't try as hard as like, I just kind of coasted, you know, like I wouldn't be okay with anything below a B, but I was an AB student. You know,
yeah.
And like, I think because of that, sometimes there's like a chip on my shoulder maybe of thinking, I don't know, like in America, what I was trying to say earlier is like, we're right. led to believe that if you're going to make something of yourself and your life, it's something that you would have been told your whole life. Like you would have been a huge achiever in high school. You would have done all these things growing up. And if you didn't get to that as a high schooler, it's kind of done for. Like you don't have any hope anymore.
Yeah, really.
And
it sounds crazy talking about
awesome.
It, but like the book essentially, and both of these books, interestingly enough, are like written from a business perspective, I would say.
Uh-huh.
Like more or less. But like they apply to acting specifically, like both of them actually like reference actors or like the acting industry. I don't know why I said actors. From a very mature perspective.
Ew.
Yeah. So, but both of them I think are written for like a business development kind of perspective or purpose, but apply like in a real way. Who do they talk about in there?
Morgan Freeman.
Because
he became famous very late in life.
Right. in Rejection Proof, it was literally talking about, like, he had an actor friend in New York City who, like, that's the life of the actor, is like, every single day I'm expecting rejection. Like, right. Literally, and you'd be lucky if you got rejected every single day. Because right. It means you're putting yourself out there every single day. Like, anyways.
Right.
But Late Bloomers, it talks about, like, this pathway to success. Go to a good high school, get a great GPA, go to the Ivy League, and then get, like, a great job when you graduate.
Be
and
like
then
Rory you're, Gilmore then you're off. From Gilmore or, Girls.
Or, yes. Okay.
Who our baby was had named to, had after. Had to
put the Gilmore Girls in there. Or you're, like, an entrepreneur when you're 18, you drop out of that Ivy League school, and you make your first million by 23. And then it's, like, you get to a point where you're 27, 28, like us, you haven't done that. And it's like, well, I will never achieve success. So you just kind of, like, give up or, like, don't think about it.
And you limit yourself.
Right. You put a ceiling
on what you're able to accomplish.
And his thing is, like, there is a massive, like, loss of talent, innovation, production, whatever, however you want to measure it, by, like, limiting the stories that we tell and, like, the success stories and, like, telling people that, like, once you're 26 or older, like, you're done. If you haven't done anything by then, you're done. Like, we're losing so much as a country, as society, by not putting value on those people who are late bloomers.
I'll wrap this up soon. I've been getting into working on my mindset lately.
Tell us more about your mindset.
Oh, God. I cringe as I say that because I'm like, I've never wanted a life coach or, like, resonated with, you know, like, things like that. So mindset, self-help books always kind of gave me the ick, honestly. And still, there's plenty of self-help books that I'm like, ick, like, no thanks.
Right.
But a healthy mindset, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, working on your mindset is everything. Okay, it's not everything, but it matters. I think it matters more. It does matter. Because for me, I have a very self-deprecating sense of humor, which we love. But I almost want to say, like, insult myself. Is this therapy?
No.
Mommy. Daddy. Oh. No, I, like, almost, I'm very hard on myself, Alex.
Go ahead.
No, I really am, though. And so it was negatively affecting me a little bit too much.
Sure.
I want to learn how to be, like, have a healthy mindset and be confident and be like, okay, there's clearly a reason that my whole entire life I've been acting and I've wanted to be an actor. Because I do think, you know, I believe in God. I do think God gave me a gift and a passion for it.
A calling, yeah.
A calling for it. Thank you, sure. Alec. So I believe that. And so because of that, I guess my mindset is, no, you got this. Keep going. Try, and I want to work on not being hard on myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm already met with a lot of rejection with the industry that I don't need to be another voice in my head adding to my bank of negativity. You know what I'm saying?
But I think the one thing I would say is, like, I think people give undue credit and undue hate to, like, this whole concept of mindset, you know what I mean?
Ooh,
like,
baby.
There's, like, extremes,
you know,
on both sides. It's like one person
Mama
says,
"Mama hates extremism."
And literally, it's all about I'm trying to think of the word. Anyways, what? Moderation. It's all about moderation, baby. No, but really, I think people are too, like, people. Some people, like, you hear mindset and, like, automatically turn it off. Like, I'm not about that stuff. Whatever. Like, get that out of here. And it's like, but there's something to the fact, like, I'm going to, like, set a goal to do this and, like, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to believe that I actually can do this. Yeah. I'm, like, actually going to, it's not like I'm not just, like, futilely, like, doing something without ever, but, like, there's an underlying mindset, like, whether you call it that or not, like, if you believe you can accomplish something and, like, believe something is worth working towards, like, you have something of a positive mindset.
Yeah. Again, going back to why I wanted to do this podcast, yes, it's for people who want to be parents one day and actors. Yes, it can also be for people who aren't actors at all and just want to learn about the industry. It can also be for actors who aren't parents, never want to be parents, because some episodes are going to be about the industry and not about motherhood, you know? But like another facet of this podcast that I will dive into is the reality of it, the behind the scenes. It's not going to be all about the wins. It'll also explore the losses that I face on a day-to-day basis. And sometimes that can be a very isolating feeling. And so it's good to get it out. And even if it's just for myself, it's very therapeutic.
Literally. Like,
even sitting down and doing this right now is kind of therapeutic.
Yeah.
Because my mind gets jumbled up with all the negativity. So I hope that it can be encouraging and fun to listen to. I do have an email for the podcast.
I was just saying, I'm personally excited because, like, I think it's an interesting thing that not a lot of people talk about. Like, from you talking about it, like, there hasn't been a resource for you for literally, like, what does this look like? So whether, like, it's just for you to, like, be an audio journal of what happens, like just documenting it, and then something we get to look back on where it's like
I'm telling Alex to eat the mic with my mouth I just motioned
and
biting
doing the actions back. Okay. Reset. But like that would be like the bare minimum. Like it just, I think, fun to look back on and be like, this is where we were in this phase of life. This is where you were in this phase of life. But I mean, I think even for like a niche crowd, like I think if you're an actor, chances are like if you're an actor for any period of time, at least from what I've seen, it's because you're absolutely passionate about it.
Uh-huh.
Because it's not easy. It's not fun all the time.
Yeah.
It's not fun most of the time.
It's like, why put yourself through
it? Right. Like, why put yourself through it unless you're absolutely passionate about it? And then there's also this passion that I think a lot of women have, that they feel the desire and the call to want to be a mom. And it's like, there's not a lot of, I don't know, it's just the response and like encouragement you've gotten so far encourages me to like, or should encourage you to kind of keep going with it and see what happens.
And it's totally, you know? don't come for our throats. It's totally fine for people out there who don't want kids ever. Like, that doesn't mean that you're saying every single woman out there has this desire and they're just silencing that desire. But there are a lot who do, me being one of them.
Yeah.
And it was kind of sucky. Like, I didn't have many people when I found out I got pregnant to reach out to.
Yeah.
Who I know are working actors in the film and television industry who are moms. I do have some, but not a lot. And especially not a lot in my, who are like closer to my age and earlier on in their careers. So I'm hoping that this will be a good resource for other people who, to share what it's been like. So far it's been really freaking good though.
Love it.
Okay, but wrapping this up.
Yeah, we got to feed her soon.
Yeah, we have to.
Speaking of which.
We have to go feed her. She's
speaking
been
of that little rascal.
Just so y'all know, she has been napping this whole time, but we have a baby monitor out. We're not reckless, you guys. Don't
Rucker's
judge us.
Her.
Okay, Rucker. Yeah, Rucker's great.
So what is next? Like,
okay,
in 30 seconds to a minute, what do you see coming? When you can't land such a great guest like myself.
Right. I am thrilled about this podcast because it's just going to be whatever the frick I want it to be.
Let's go.
So like some episodes will be bonus for fun, probably about pop culture, baby girl. I'm a big Swiftie, so you know when her album comes out this
She's
spring.
She's going to turn into a pop culture podcast.
It really will. There will be an episode, at least one, about dissecting Taylor Swift's new album, but it'll be that some episodes will be interviews with people in the industry, actors, acting coaches, casting directors, agents, whoever, to like hear about what they do, their experience, yada, yada, yada. And then some will be maybe you and I again, because this was kind of nice. Some might be solo. Like if I have like a really bad day, good day, whatever, I can pop in for even The length will
drop
vary.
It on the pod. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was going to say, with that being said,
I keep bumping the mic. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you're Gucci, my love.
Go ahead.
I was going to say,
an idiot.
stupid. I do have an email for the podcast. It is called stayathomeactorpod@gmail.com.
Spell that out.
stayathomeactorpod@gmail.com. Please feel free. The audio just went out. Please feel free to email that email. And if you have any suggestions, questions, you want to be on the pod.
Hey, yo.
Listen, there's a whole line of people who want to be on the pod, baby girl. Get in line. My mom. Mommy.
All right.
Okay, I'm done.
This is going downhill fast.
Yeah, but feel free to email it, and I will check that email frequently. I would love inspiration. People said, can we get Rucker on the pod? People asked if Rory can get on the pod, so no request is too silly.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was asinine, but
yep.
Anything else that you'd like to add? I think that was fun.
This
was
fun.
Fun for episode one, right?
See you tomorrow.
Wasn't too long.
See you next time we record.
I'm Michael Barbaro. See you tomorrow. Ooh, that was a daily reference.
I'm so sorry for all the noises that I'm making, but yeah.
He is just, he has pots I'm and terrible. Pans in his hand.
I am ADHD. And I'm just moving around. No, that was great. Super fun. Looking forward to next time. Looking forward to subscribing.
Yes. Like and subscribe.
Putting it in my lineup.
Give it a rate and a review. The audio will get better over time. I'm recording and editing this all myself. So for now,
let's go.
The best we've got. I literally just, my tongue just touched the mic. That's fine. I hope that all, if you are an actor, I want to leave it with this. Ew. God.
All right. Bring us home. I'm done.
We have not had our 6-week OB appointment. Okay.
Signing off.
Last thing I'll leave you with. If you're an actor that's freaking out because you want kids, or you don't want kids, but you want something else in your life, you want to move somewhere else. I don't know what you want. I want to encourage you. Now more than ever, thank you, self-tapes. You can live the life you want to live. And so it's going to be okay. You have a long life ahead of you, my friend. A long life. Okay? Live the freaking life you want to live. You'll figure it out and you'll be better for it. Okay?
Amen.
That's what I want to say. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening.
That's it. You could close with like, this has been the stay-at-home actor, like
this
in your best NPR voice, or
this has
armchair
been the
expert. No, armchair expert, NPR, or the Daily, or Smartless, or Conan. Go ahead; those are all the podcasts.
What is smart? I love Smartless.
We'll just choose one,
but
of
I'm
them.
Forgetting what.
Choose
they do
one
at
of
the
them
end.
And say, "This has been the stay-at-home actor." Good day and good night. Take care and good night.
Good day and good night.
Something like that.
Come on. That is so formal.
We'll
this is
it.
Not Fox
we'll
News.
It. Oh, jeez.
Y'all, I don't watch Fox
Just
News.
Just drop Fox News. There's
y'all,
our third email.
I'm so sorry.
Third
y'all, I need
thing.
Y'all to know. No, but I don't like Fox News, okay?
All right.
God bless it.
Sign
I'm
off.
Sorry.
This has been the Stay
what
at Home Actor.
What is wrong with Fox
I'm
News?
I'm Sarah Burris Hirsch.
This has been the
See
Stay at Home Actor. I'm Sarah Burris Hirsch. See you next time.
Do it without me interrupting.
Okay. I'm not editing this out. People will hear all of this, by the way. They're going
to... Hundo P.
Because it's episode one, baby girl. They're going to hear us workshopping it.
Start from the bottom. Let's go.
Right.
All right.
This has been the Stay at Home Actor podcast. I'm Sarah Burris Hirsch. Was that bad? You're looking at me like it was bad.
That was news reporter. It's not really podcasty. Put yourself...
So be more cash.
Just put yourself in a podcast, like as if you're on Smartless. Bye.
Okay.
But we can't steal that. But that is a great...
Is that what they do?
That's a great outro. Okay. Yeah, they fit it in. So it's like...
Bye.
Yeah, they fit it in like they're talking about it. They're like... and really, like, what I loved about Sarah is that she was unbiased.
Oh, that's
or she
funny.
Was bipartisan. Something like that.
I listened to their
they
episodes.
They say the same. They have, like... 10 outros.
I must
All right,
not
go ahead.
Make it to the end. Okay.
Go ahead. Do you?
This was episode one of the Stay at Home Actor podcast. Seriously, thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next time, baby girl. Let's go. 100p. Bye.